Let me know when you're ready here, Brother Patrick. All right, here we are. This first Sunday, August, year flying by. Now, we've been sitting here talking about eating and haircuts and everything else.
Amen.
I have to admit, I like what I heard about the eating. I like to eat. God didn't just make us where we had to eat. He made us where we could enjoy it if we wanted to. Amen.
Amen.
They talking about Kansas City Pizza. I will be checking that out. And all you can eat breakfast buffet down at the Bear River Lodge. That's right in my backyard. I'm plumb ashamed I didn't know about these places. But I'll tell you another place I like to eat. That's at the table of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad when He said the table is always something on there for me. Amen.
Amen.
There's sometimes I need stuff I don't even know I need. You know, Mama used to try to get me to eat certain things. I said, yeah, I don't like it. I needed it, but I didn't like it. God, He not only got something I need, He makes me like it. Amen? And He has, Brother Patrick said, it's all you can eat buffet down there at the lodge. The Lord's table's like that too. It's all you can eat. Amen. We're going to have a quick word of prayer. We're in Psalms chapter number 36. It's just 12 verses, and that's as far as we're going to go, so we're not going to be so rush this morning. We'll take our time.
I was going to tell you, my cousin, I guess her mom, her name's Kim Geralds, Kimberly Geralds. I guess she's eating up cancer and stuff.
Yeah.
I was told about it on the way over here, so I just wanted to maybe say.
Let me write that down, Brother Patrick. I'm telling you, my mind ain't working real good, and I just about have to write everything down. Kim Geralds?
Yeah, Geralds with a J.
We're going to have a word of prayer here. Let me say this about prayer. There's a lot of people out there got cancer. A lot of people out there struggling with their health. I just like to say this. He's the Lord God that healeth us.
Amen.
If you want to go to a good doctor, if you want to get well, the Lord's the best doctor I know. Not only can He heal you, the Bible said He healed them all.
Yeah.
He healed 10 lepers of the leprosy. 9 kept going, but 1 come back and gave Him praise. And sometimes we're like the 1, sometimes we're like the 9, but I want you to know He healed all 10 of them. And you don't have to go no further than Jesus. I know you can go to other doctors, they'll charge you an arm and a leg, and you might even get worse than what you was. I'll tell you what, if you'll honestly give it to Jesus, you know, if I had terminal cancer, I'm going to go straight to Jesus.
Amen.
Donnie, he told me, he said, I'm just believing, I'm just trusting in the Lord.
Yes.
The Bible says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and He'll sustain you. Peter said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, you don't have to go to the Lord, but if you got any sense at all, I mean, that thief on that cross had less than an hour. He finally had enough sense. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, if you're still alive, you're already on your deathbed, got 1 foot in the grave and the other right beside it. If you're still breathing, and still able to call upon Him that's rich in mercy, all that call upon Him, you can not only get forgiveness for your sins, you can not only get a refuge for your soul, but you can get residence in heaven.
Right.
I mean, I plan on going there one day.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about having the time of your life. Now, we have a pretty good time down here, but there's nothing like it right there. The Bible calls it enter into the joy of the Lord. What's heaven going to be like? I'm going to read a little bit about it in preaching today. Where a young boy was allowed to come back to his family. Because they was weeping over him and praying over him. And he said, I asked the Lord if I could come back. Just enough to tell you, don't worry about me. And we'll be reading a little bit about that. I got a book here called Voices from Eternity. For a long time, I used this in Sunday school. We'd read one excerpt out of this book. It's famous people, non-famous people. Last words they spoke, some of them good, some of them not so good.
Yeah.
But we'll be reading one of them and preaching there. What you got by that?
I just want to say, I've watched faithful prayer,
pray two people from death.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was every day. It was all the time.
Amen, Brother Patrick.
And it was my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And my dad's not here now, but
yeah.
I watched him. Thankful prayer,
praying
about every single thing I prayed for.
I did too. Amen.
I prayed for every little thing, and I watched every little thing heal up. Mm-hmm. Every time I found something else was wrong, I prayed for that thing.
Amen, Brother Patrick.
And I watched the Lord heal them. Mm-hmm. And I watched the doctor say it was miracles twice.
Yeah.
And I don't believe in miracles unless it's by the Lord. So.
Amen.
And that's the way I feel about it. And I just want to say that.
I think about Brother Ronnie a lot.
Yeah.
They won't forget him bringing them donuts in. I never did really understand that, but boy, them donuts sure was good, amen.
Yeah.
Till he had a heart for God when he got saved. Go ahead, Sister Bonnie.
As you were talking, before they put me out when I was going to have surgery,
where's she, Bonnie?
The doctor took me. Had already told me, he said, that this is going to be a serious surgery. And before I went up, I said, God, it's just you and me.
She put it in his hands what she's trying to say. She said, Lord, this is you, amen.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Bonnie.
Praise him every day.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there watching right now wish you was already here. It's a good place to be, amen.
Amen.
I'm praising God just for the testimonies I've already heard.
Amen.
What I'm feeling even right now.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a word of prayer here in just a minute. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we pray? Then we're going to get Brother Donnie to read the scripture, and I'm going to try to expound upon them, which just means explain some of them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God does open His Word. The Bible says He opened His Word to His disciples so they could understand it. If God don't open it up, I just want you to know it. It's not like you can go to the library and say, hey, I need this open up. Can you open this up for me? Sometimes you can't Google things neither. I did do some Googling this morning. I found out this much. I've got one in Franklin. Electronic Bibles, because there's so much territory in the Bible. And even though I know the verse, I need to know where it's at. Because I want to use it as I'm teaching or preaching. Well, my little Franklin, it just allows you to type so many words. And it'll say too many words. You can go to Google, you can type as much as you can remember and it'll bring it up. I like that part about Google.
Amen.
Man, got me one of them smartphones now. And I was testing Siri this morning on the way over here. I said, Siri, call me Brother David Lowe. And Siri said, confirmation is not in your contacts list. So my granddaughter got in my phone and she helped me in some ways, but she messed me up in other ways. I got to go through there and delete all my contacts all over. Because I could probably get a hold of the President of the United States. I've never seen so many contacts in my life. She's got people in my phone. I don't even know who they are. But anyway, it's too much territory. And the Bible's too much territory without having some help.
Amen.
I can quote most of the verses. Just because I've spent a lot of time in the Bible and I've got a good reservation laid up from that experience of reading my Bible through my 22nd time reading it through. But where they're at, boy, that's another issue in its own. Amen. I'm going to shut up. Anybody got any more prayer requests?
Just remember Joe and Rita that they get back home safely today.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. How's Brenda doing?
She's a little bit better. She's not going to have hip surgery.
Praise God.
The doctor kindly read her x-ray wrong. And then she goes back to 14, and the other doctor will tell her if she's got to have back surgery.
Amen. Well, my wife went to the doctor this week. I think it was Friday. And it was doing, I don't know if it's MRI or what, but where she's had that back surgery, they pressed her down real hard to try to get a, I don't know, better picture, whatever, and she's really struggling even right now because of going through that ordeal. I kind of wish they'd left well enough alone there. She suffers enough as it is, but she's been on the couch, on the bed, everywhere trying to get some relief. She's eating pain pills like candy. Want to remember my wife.
Mm-hmm. Brother Eddie, have you heard any updates on Brother Paul Davidson?
No, but I've been earnestly praying for him.
Okay.
And, as far as I know, he's doing okay, him and Marla. And we pray for Brother Paul because of the cancer. And, of course, he's a good brother. Pastors Gethsemane Baptist Church. They got a Christian school out there. Great man of God. I worked with Paul for years. Didn't know he was really that talented. Very, very good carpenter. Very good preacher. Good friend. But we are praying for Brother Paul. I don't know. I don't have an update. When I was at Bethel, I stayed updated with everything. And I'm kind of out of the loop right now.
And I know
he's special. Unspoken.
God knows
me. Amen. You're right. Most of mine are unspoken.
Yeah.
Is that it? Father, we thank you this beautiful day. Lord, you've given us, Lord, to assemble in your house. And Lord, what a blessed honor it is, Lord, to be here. Lord, just what we just felt just a minute ago. Thank you for Brother Patrick, Lord. Those tears, Lord, in his eyes there. Father, looking back on days gone by when God was not only there, but in a mighty way. Thank you for that. I'm like him, Lord. I've seen the miracles. I've seen, Lord, where you allowed, Lord, things to go a little further when the diagnosis had been bad. And Lord, we just want to praise God for Bruce, Lord. Also, Lord, but he's talking about his father, Ronnie Lindsay. Lord, they done give up on him and you let him go a little further. We know you're able. You said in your word, length of days are with you. You gave King Hezekiah 15 more years. And we know, Lord, you can do that. And we thank you, Lord. We bear witness for what he was saying. We were there with a lot of that ourselves, visiting Brother Ronnie in the nursing home and over at his home too. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We want to pray this morning, Father, for Kim Jones. He mentioned, Lord, she's got cancer. And Lord, we know down here, Lord, there's a lot of things that we have to deal with. Lord, the Bible says you was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Lord, you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And Lord, you came down here just to know what it felt like. Lord, to be betrayed, to be heartbroken. Lord, at Lazarus' tomb, shortest verse in the Bible says, Jesus wept. And I can just think upon that moment there, Lord, when, Lord, you wept at the graveside of Lazarus, knowing even that you was going to raise him from the dead. We pray, Lord, Father, for Kim Gerald. We pray, Lord, Father, Brother Mark, Sister Kay. Lord, we pray for Sister Judy and Sister Geraldine. Lord, we pray for Brother James and Sister Patty and, Lord, their daughter Marilyn and her husband Jarvis, her son Rick. We pray, Lord, Father, for their other son, Lord Larry and Carol and all of them, Lord. Father, we pray for Joe and Rita, Lord, they'd be able to enjoy, Lord, that time, Lord, on vacation, Lord. And we thank God for Rita, Lord, and great effort, Lord, she put forth at the Vacation Bible School. Lord, 11 children here. Lord, we praise God for that. Lord, help us to get 1,100 if we can, Lord. Help us, God, to keep in that direction, Lord, reaching out to this next generation. Lord, we're going to leave one day, and I hope to God that, Lord, we can leave something behind. Oh, my Lord. We pray, Father God, Lord, this morning for Lord Brenda. Lord, we're thanking God she's better. They're saying she's not going to have hip replacement. Praise God. Lord, be my wife. Lord, ease her pain. Lord, she's struggling, Father, from the procedure. Lord, when we go to the doctors, Lord, now they've got so many things that they can do. And like that woman had that issue of blood, suffered many things, do nothing better, rather worse. That's kind of like what I'm seeing with my wife. Lord, be with her. Help her, Lord. I love her. I'm so thankful, Lord, for 49 years of marriage with my wife. And I don't even see how that's possible, Lord. And I was one part of that marriage. And Lord, she was the other part. You must have been the substance that held it together. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those blessed years we've been able to enjoy together. Help her, Lord, their health. We got some unspoken requests here this morning, Father. Lord, we pray for them. I pray for Sister Tammy Tibbs. Lord, she's going to have, I think, some kind of surgery on her neck, suffering chronic pain. We pray for her. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for all those here in the church, Lord, that Sister Phyllis, Lord, Brother Mitchell says, Lord, she don't have many good days. And Lord, we know you're the great physician. Visit Sister Phyllis today, Lord, her sister, Lord, got, Lord, stage 4 cancer. Lord, visit her, Lord, today. And Lord, we pray for Brother Mitchell. He wasn't here last Sunday. And Lord, he also, Lord, struggles with health. We pray for Brother Mitchell. Pray for his sister Ruby and his, I think it's his niece, Lord, Sherry, I think that's her name, Lord. We pray for all of them, Lord. We thank you for this little church, Father. Lord, we pray for these elections coming up this year, Father. I'm a little concerned. Lord, I do believe that America's hanging in the balance this year. I really do. I believe this will be a defining year. We'll either lose this country completely, and we may have already done it. I don't know, Lord. Well, Lord, we'll gain it back and have a chance to go a little further for the glory of God. Lord, I know the debt's stacked against this country. Lord, I pray you remember, Lord, this country's tried. Lord, it's done all that it could. It hasn't done all to stand. I think America, Lord, has built up the bulwarks in some ways and fell by the wayside in others. But Lord, it's got a lot of good still left in it. And I pray you'll give it a little longer, Father. Oh, Lord, to send the word out. Oh, Lord, to send the workers out. Bless all your missionaries, Father. Bless this Sunday school lesson this morning, Lord. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord, as he reads the lesson. Lord, may your anointing be upon him, Lord. Oh, God, thank you for the anointing of God.
Yes,
how humbled I am, Lord, that you kind of be faithful. Put me in the ministry, Lord. As useless and worthless as could possibly be. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that you could use me in any capacity. I give you praise and glory. Bless all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, Brother Donnie.
Let me say one thing with my testimony a while ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was about, you know, when God answered my prayer, and I thought it was about me, or, you know, that I had done that, you know. But when it all was said and done, it was never about me. It was about Ronnie getting saved.
Yeah.
And it was about my mama seeing Ronnie getting
saved. Amen. Yeah.
So it really had nothing to do with me. I was just a carrier of the prayers, and
yeah.
The Lord was, had a different reason and purposes that he had set forth to help
Amen.
Him. So.
Yes. I believe you said I saw the miracles.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. That's good to see them. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're in Psalm chapter 36.
I want to thank the Lord for another Sunday He's allowed me to wake up.
Amen.
And for allowing me to stand up here and read His Word, for my brother right here to break it down and help us understand it a little bit more.
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for everything He does for me. Psalms 36, verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before His eyes. Verse 2. For he flatters himself in his own eyes until the iniquity be found to be hateful. Verse 3. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. Verse 4. He deviseth mischief upon the bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He arboreth not evil. Verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds.
Amen.
Verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgment are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast.
Yes.
Verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings.
Amen.
Verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of my pleasure. Verse 9. For thee is a fountain of life, and thy light shall we see light.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Verse 10. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and the righteousness to the upright in heart. Verse 11. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. And verse 12. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Donnie.
Thank you, brother.
Good reading, good scriptures there.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I like the Word of God. If I spent more time, letting the Word of God be before my eyes, I'd probably be able to say out a little more about it, but I'm glad I know what I know. Amen. Brother Charles Fishback preached over here one time, and his message was, I know what I know, and it is good to know some things of God. That verse 1 there, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before His eyes. Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, He said, by their fruit you'll know them. It don't always add up. I mean, people say, they say one thing, but you can tell it ain't that way really in their life. When he mentioned here, I'm in the wrong chapter, no wonder. When he mentioned here, beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. And it is easy to see the fruit ain't right. You know, it's kind of like cloud. It ain't got no rain. Don't bring nothing forth. It's just all about the looks. This first verse here talks about wickedness. And they say within their heart, even though they don't say it with their mouth, it just, you know, Jesus said the heart is, He said, out of the heart proceeds wickedness. You know, from the heart comes adulteries, fornication, murders, and thefts, all that stuff. That heart speaks without the mouth even moving. And that heart of the wicked, it says there's no fear of God for his eyes. I've been around a long time working in the factory and working along men just like me that was lost. And even though they didn't want to admit they was lost, their conversation made it known. They'd say things, you know, that shouldn't be said. They'd do things that shouldn't be done. And that's kind of what this verse is talking about. That transgression. Let me see what I got wrote in my notes here. Romans chapter 3, verse 18. I had a thought or two about this morning. But in Romans chapter 3, verse 18, it says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Verses 13 through 17, it says, their throat is an open sepulcher. Yeah. That's the way my mouth was. It's just full of profane cursings and everything. You know, I remember I was with my cousin Barry, and take my time a little bit this morning. We was at Lessenbury Building Supply, and I just show you how bad it can be. They had a chainsaw laying out there and had a price tag of $50 on it. Somebody mislabeled it. I think it was probably $150. But anyway, I took it up there and said, I want this chainsaw. It was a green Poland chainsaw. And my cousin Barry is with me. And she said, I can't sell you that for that. That's not the price of it. I said, it says right here, $50. And it's stuck on there, $50. I said, there it is. Well, make a long story short, she said, I can't sell it to you for that. And I don't know if she disclosed what the price of it was. But I got to cursing and raining. And from upstairs, a phone call came down and said, sell him that chainsaw. I mean, people's leaving. We got outside. My cousin Barry said, I can't believe you said that to that woman. I said what? He said, you cursed her out. I said, I never said no such thing. He said, I was standing right beside you when you did it. And I still didn't receive that, but I will tell you this. When I got saved, I went straight to Lessenbury Building Supply. And I walked up that same woman. And I said, I'm sorry. I want you to know I've got saved since that day. And I want you to forgive me. She said, son, thank you for coming back. She said, you was forgiven from that day till now. But I've been praying for you. See, God has a way of working those things out. I couldn't see how wicked I was, but my cousin saw. He's as wicked as I was. I was surprised that he would even make mention. I mean, he could have cussed me. He said, I heard you there. I heard what you said. Well, anyway, it says their throats an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp. I'm in Romans chapter 3, verse 13. The poison of asp. It's kind of short for wasp. But we've had to come in church this morning. He said, one touched him on the ear. Amen. Poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. You know, if the heart's not right, nothing else is going to be right. Best thing to do is just get your heart right with God. Boy, I tell you, that day I got my heart right with God, everybody got looking a whole lot better. I couldn't find no fault in nobody. Amen. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, the way of peace have they not known. That's kind of what this verse 1 is talking about here. Transgression of the wicked. Said within his heart, there is no fear of God for his eyes. You know, I can remember being in denial, and you know, you'd tell them jokes, you know, and you'd laugh, and all of that. Look at verse 2 here. For he flattereth himself in his, I don't need God. You know, that's for them, not for me. It's just the way it is. In the real world, there's a lot of people out there that got the same mindset, just like I did. And that ain't for me, that's for them. He flattereth himself in his own eyes. You know, I have to admit, till I saw myself in the eyes of God, I couldn't see what my problems were. But I got saved April 27th, 1988. That was on a Monday. But that day before that Sunday morning, when this drunk got up out of bed and I done bragged about how I was going to go fishing tomorrow while my family went to church, as I got up that morning and getting ready to go fishing like I said I was, that little 8-year-old boy walked in the bedroom, this drunk daddy. I have to admit, what I saw for 34 years, I didn't have a problem with it. But when he said, Daddy, will you please go to church with me today? I want you to know, for the first time in my 34-year-old life, I saw the real Eddie Wade. It wasn't good neither. I mean, I felt like a sack of potatoes, Brother James. He flattereth himself in his own eyes. He said, I don't need that. That's for them, not for me. And I'm a man's man. That's just not for me. You know, that ain't my cup of tea. He flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. You can overdo it. I can remember one time in the break room, I overdid it. Guy come rebuked me. He said, you don't need to be that hateful. And I kind of spoiled myself with that, Bonnie. I was trying to be more wicked. Kind of trying to outdo yourself, you know. He flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. You can't overdo it, I'll tell you that right now. I really need to read this. In Romans chapter 1, it tells a whole lot more about man than I'm even touching about right here. And I'm going to take my time this morning. Sometimes I think we do just kind of superficial speak about verses. We're going to go a little deeper this morning. Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, there's a lot of wickedness out there. You got spiritual wickedness, and then you got just plain old human wickedness, you know, meaner than a junkyard dog. But this here actually speaking about hypocrites hold the truth and unrighteous and misconstrue what the Word of God says, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It says, because that which may not be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. You know, there's preachers out there, I hate to say it, but they need to go back and start all over again and pay a little more attention, amen. They know better and they still go like that. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Some people, I guess it's for filthy lucre's sake, like Paul told Timothy, that they turned, for money. They sold themselves out, you know. But he says, for the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, we all need to remember one day we're going to give an account. And there won't be no excuse on that day. Matter of fact, I don't think there'll be too many people trying to give one. I think it'll look like a carnival ride. Everybody be twitching, jerking, hoping they won't be next in line. Bible mentions about spiritual pain falling in the hands of the living God. He's a consuming fire. And a lot of people, I'm glad I'm on good standing with God. Let me put it like that. Amen. It says here, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They got, I don't want to say too big for the britches, but they didn't realize how much God needed to be involved. And they thought, you know, like Samson, I'll go as other times he didn't go because God had been with him. They're right there and he got that haircut and he didn't go. But you know, that day when God brings out the secret things, because it says here, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, God brought light in my heart, and we're children of light, and I don't want my heart to get darkened. It can happen, but I don't want it to. I want my speech to be acceptable. I want my actions to be acceptable. I want my motives to be right. And here it talks about, you know, they got darkened in their heart. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. You'd be surprised how far apostasy can go. I mean, here Aaron is. He said, hey, I just sowed that gold in there and out came this calf. I mean, he's one lady, but he's trying to deny that before Moses scared. In verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness, to the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies, between themselves. Let me tell you something. You'd be surprised just how far that you'll end up going rather than just get right with God. Instead of just saying, hey, I'm wrong, you'll just keep trying to go a little further. So God gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. I mean, they just need to get right with God. To dishonor their own bodies, between themselves. I've been watching a little bit here lately, the canvas of this country and other countries. I mean, they had that big mocking, you know, up there at France, Olympic Games up there, you know, that mockery. Yeah. The canvas is getting a little bit undesirable, a little bit blasphemous. Yeah. I mean, it's like, how far? I mean, my wife had a TV on just then. There's a woman had jet blue hair. I'm sitting there thinking, what is going on? I mean, it just didn't do this woman no good at all. I don't know why in the world she'd have that color hair. I mean, I don't really care what color my hair is as long as it stays stuck to my head, amen. But anyway, it just seemed like just keep going further and further and further. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. There's people today, they're preaching lies.
Oh, yes.
I won't be one of them. Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. He said the Holy Spirit won't bear witness for nothing but truth. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the anointing. I want the blessing, the unction. I'll tell you right now, some of these guys are good orators, but they're not preaching truth. To change the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know, these next verses here just kind of shows you it can just go even further. Starting in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. You know, churches shouldn't be ordaining gays. I mean, you look. You know, being gay is just like any other sin, except for one thing. God called it an abomination. Now, He's the Creator. He's the one made us, male, female.
Yeah.
But when He said when man lies with man, it's an abomination. That changes the dynamics of that sin. It's an abomination sin. Now, all sin, and you know him that knows do good, do it not him that sins. Sin's pretty simple. And the Bible says this about sin. When sin's finished, it brings forth death. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, pouring unto man once dying after that, the judgment. I got a feeling all that stuff's not going to be flaunted there at the judgment. I don't think people are going to brag about being a homosexual or a lesbian or anything else. I think they're going to go up there and say, I'm sorry. I believe it won't be no problem at all to get that out neither. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. You wonder how Sodom and Gomorrah came to be? I'm going to tell you right now, Lot may have went down there, and he shouldn't have went down there. But God got him out, the rest of them didn't get out.
That's true.
Even their women did, you know, we got a Supreme Court nominee, Ketanji Jackson, blessed senator, Tennessee, Martha Blackburn, I got her name right. She asked Ketanji Jackson, can you describe a woman to me? And Ketanji Jackson said, no, I can't. I don't understand that kind of logic. But here it says, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. This ain't Old Testament, this is New Testament. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And this is why I read all this. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Have you seen where they're trying to remove anything to do with God today? Ain't that something? God made everything. I mean, you can't take God out of nothing. He's in all things. So I'm telling you. In Him we live, move, and have our being. You're not going to get too far without God. But here it said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. It said, get that out of the curriculum. Bring in this gender confusion. Bring in this, this evolution junk. All this garbage. Bring the drag queens in. And you know, it's kind of nonsense. But even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Right.
To do those things which are not convenient. Being found filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, of inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, truth, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Yeah, that's some tough scripture, but God put that in there. Like I said here, he flattereth himself in his own eyes. Bible talks about a woman, I didn't look this scripture up, but said she commits sin, wipes her mouth, said, I didn't do no sin. You know, we can dismiss, we can deny, we can even use, you know, deceit. I'm going to tell you, it's all going to be brought out one day.
Yeah. Right.
Words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. You know, all God wanted me to do was do right. Call me to do right if you want to. But that's all God wanted me to do. He said, just do right. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, as you have the others doing you do unto them. Some reason that we can't do that. He said he's left off to be wise and to do good. And he said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it my way. It'll be all right. Verse 4, he deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that's not good. He abhorreth not evil. This guy here has been described here. He's drawing in to evil. He's trying to figure out how to make himself more mischievous. The Bible mentions there in a could be his child rearing. Bible mentioned Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness bound up the child, but the rod of correction drive it far from him. My mom did got me in line, kept me in line. Thank God for him. I'm glad they did. But sin's like this right here. Fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14:9. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32:23. And it says this about sin. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Proverbs 23:32. I'm just telling you, you're not going to get too far with sin.
No.
It'll enslave you. It'll take away the days that God gave you to live. God gave you 70 years to live. But I'll tell you what, because of sin, you won't live half of them. And I've done enough funerals, I've seen it firsthand. I done a funeral one time, my aunt's father, John David Smith, great guy, carpenter, she asked me to do his funeral. I done the funeral, John David Smith, sitting on the front row. His grandson, her son, Chuck Dumples. Me and Chuck, we deer hunted, we fished, we drank together. Man, we just like, really just like brothers, honestly. And I got saved. Boy, that changed everything. I didn't see too much of Chuck after I got saved. Now, he claimed to be saved, but, you know, it just didn't add up. He didn't want to be around nobody talking about Jesus. And that's all I wanted to do. I couldn't get enough of it. Man, I talked about Jesus probably too much. But anyway, he got distant. He's sitting on the front row of his grandfather's funeral. Within 2 weeks, I'd done Chuck Dunham's funeral. On a Sunday. That little girl that was his, he loved more than life itself. Beautiful little young girl. That Sunday, as he made preparation to go fishing or go hunting, God said, not today. Died right there in his house, massive heart attack. His wife, Kim, come to me, will you do my husband's funeral? Mm-hmm. That was tough. I wept. I looked down that coffin and I wept. And I thought about Chuck. What if he'd made different decisions, taking his family to church that Sunday? You know, we get a chance to make decisions. I think we need to make good decisions. I think God wants to give us long life. I think He wants to give us all the good. But I'll tell you, now we reap what we sow. But child rearing may have had something to do with this verse number 4. You know, just say, I can't do nothing with him. Start early. Father Ralph said, I was brought to church 9 months before I was born.
Yeah.
In my mother's womb. Reggie Sanders said he went to his daughter and said, Jesus loves you to her belly. He said that little baby went to kick and said she shot all over the place. Get it as quick as you can. John Baptist Martha's there? Mary's aunt. Elizabeth said, the babe in my womb leaped when you made mention of Jesus. I'm telling you, get it to him as early as you can. They'll tell you, this environment down here is not good for children. Amish, they got a little bit of sense. They won't even let their children learn English till they're a certain age. They at least give them a sporting chance. They're trying to get these lies from hell to our children in kindergarten. You see, children, I appreciate Sister Rita working with them back there. Children are very impressionable at their young. They say a child's learning everything they're going to learn time at 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to break the mold after 4 years. It's good to get it there. Get your children. Your parents out there listening, old Brother Eddie, you don't have to come to Landmark Baptist Church. But if you do want to come to a good church, it's a good church. My pastor preached a message one time. Could you recommend your church? I could recommend this church. These people here will love you. They'll pray for you.
Amen.
I have seen that they're about to bring you food to eat when you're down and out. Give you phone calls. My wife got a card from Bonnie. I had to take a look in there. Thank you, Bonnie, for what I'm telling you. Y'all just don't know what that means. She's down and out. She said, I get any. I said, yeah, you got mail right here. And she opened it up, and I got a little curious when I went and looked in there from Landmark Baptist Church. Amen. Thank you for that. Yeah, this is a good church. I could recommend this church. He devises mischief upon his bed. You know, a lot of things happen. But these are bad decisions. He's meditating upon what he can do, how he can do it, how he can get away with it. Imagine he's devising mischief on his bed. I can think of better things to spend your time thinking about. He set up himself in a way that's not good. He abhorreth not evil. He loved, you know, the Bible says in John chapter 3, men love darkness rather than light. Neither come they through the light, lest their deeds be reproved. This guy here, he's all these things about smithship, sin, and evil. Verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Amen. And thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 says that the Lord's mercies were not consumed. Verse 23 says his mercies are new every morning. Every morning I need new mercy. Brother Donnie, he'll call me sometime. He said, boy, I'm getting blessed today. I said, hallelujah, I just got through praying for you. And you know, we do need to pray one for another. Y'all be bathed in prayer. Your pastor's a praying pastor. Sometimes I struggle in prayer. But I tell you what, even struggling, I still know I got to pray. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your needs. I want to pray God bless you and help you. But here it says, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. And thy faithfulness reaches under the clouds. I'm glad that God is not only, his name could be called faithful, but I'll tell you what, but his mercy. He wants us to have mercy. He doesn't want us to go the way of transgressors. He wants us to go that good way. Amen. Verse 6. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. See, the great mountains, they're hard to reach. I just seen where a guy died at the Grand Canyon doing a 500-foot, I guess, skydive or whatever, I don't know. But somehow jump, I guess, you know, didn't open up or whatever. Base jump out. Yeah, he done a 500-foot base jump, and evidently the parachute didn't work, and he died at the Grand Canyon. But, you know, he could climb that 500-foot up there. And people have climbed the great mountains. But you know that righteousness of God, the Bible said we've all come short of the glory of God. I can't reach it. I can reach to it. But God reached down His hand one day, Sister Bonnie, pulled me up, made me complete. I'm telling you, I've got to be as righteous as Jesus to go to heaven. And I can't reach it, Sister Sharon. So He took His coat off, His coat of righteousness, like Jonathan did David. He clothed me with His righteousness. Mm-hmm. Now in the sight of God, I'm just as righteous as Jesus is.
Amen.
I'm accepted in the beloved. When I get up there, boy, I'm gonna be welcome. I'm gonna be accepted. I'm telling you, it's gonna be a wonderful thing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Man, this old short life down here, we get bogged down, we get depressed and discouraged and everything else. But that righteousness, God gives it through His Son. Amen. Woo! He preserves us. I ain't going to read this. Yeah, I am. I'm going to take my time. Romans chapter 11. I said I was going to take my time this morning, so I don't want to contradict myself. Romans chapter number 11. Look at verse 32. For God hath polluted them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. I mean, even drunkards and sinners like Brother Eddie. He had mercy on me, Sister Faye. And all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. It says here, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath first given to Him, and shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
That's right.
Oh my. How excellent is our loving kindness, O Lord. The Bible says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. And good morning, Sister Lucy. Chase? I want you to take up an offering this morning. You remember that, buddy?
All right.
I seen his enthusiasm last Sunday, and I like what I saw. Amen.
Amen.
Seen him fighting Lucy over that offering plate. That ain't the way to do it, but I like the zeal that I saw. Amen. I'm going to honor that. Amen. How excellent is our loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust on the shadow of Thy wings. You know, I'm glad there's something we can trust in. And you can trust in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to have to be a little more brief here. I've spouted too much on these verses. Verse 9. for with thee is the fountain of life.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember Ponce de Leon?
Yes.
They went searching for the fountain of youth?
Yes.
Well, the Bible says, Psalm 103, verse 5, now that he makes our... Well, let me... Hallelujah, we have one... All right. I looked down and heard the door shut. Says here, come on, did he get the right verse again? Psalm 103, verse 5, who satisfy thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle.
Yeah.
This next chapter here, man, I had that marked in my other Bible. I didn't have it marked in this, but it says, I have been young, now I'm old. I've yet seen the righteous forsaken, his seed begging bread.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God, take care of this. Verse 25, I've been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will take care. You can put trust in him.
Amen.
Amen. Man, y'all gonna have it today. I'm telling you, I'm full today. I got up too early or something. I don't know what's the matter. Amen. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. You know what? The Bible tells us in 1 John, we walk in light, he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, the blood of his son Jesus cleansed us from all sin. I'm telling you, he's the light that lighteth every man cometh in the world. St. John chapter number 1. And you have all the light you want. The entrance of His Word gives light. Path of the just as a bright and shining light shines more and more into the perfect day. Verse 10. Oh, I left that verse number 8. Verse 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. I think I left that verse out. But in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus mentioned about him knocking on the door. If any man open up, he said, I'll come to him, sup with him, him with me. You can sup with Jesus, amen. You don't have to eat alone. He said, I'll sup with you. He said, hey, I'll spend time with you if you'll just open the door and let me come in, amen. Verse 10, continue thy love and kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright heart. You know, God wants to continue to bless you. He told his people Israel, he said, your sins have withheld good things from you. He said, get that fixed. And I'll tell you right now, Malachi, he said, try me and prove me and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing that the room cannot contain. There's no restraint with God.
Amen.
Nothing's impossible with him. Best thing you can do is realize he's able, no matter what it is. Well, the more faith you got, the more you can get his attention. I'm telling you. Verse 11, let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. They want us out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm not going nowhere, Bonnie, till my ride shows up.
That's right.
They might be glad to see me go, but they're going to wish I was back. There's going to be a void when the church is gone. Now in Egypt, there was a darkness that could be felt. They were afraid even to move, Carolyn. When God does come for His church, Donnie, and the light's taken away, those that are left behind are in that great darkness, they're going to wish they'd spend a little time praying. And the light of God's Word, and the light of God's church, and the light of God's people. So boy, they're going to be in great darkness. The Bible says the people in darkness seen a great light. He came down and let some light shine, amen.
Yeah.
Verse 12. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down, and they shall not be able to rise. They're going to get their reward. You know, the devil thought he was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'll extend my throne above the stars, above the Most High, and the answer was he's going to be brought down to hell.
Oh, yeah.
There in Isaiah chapter 14. You know, if you want to go up, you need to get to Jesus. Me and my wife got in the elevator, pushed that button, we went up. I ain't got to push no button. I'm going up. Amen. I'm a citizen of heaven. Hey, my My residence is there now. I might be here now, but my home's there. I'm going home one of these days.
Amen.
Maybe today for all I know. I'll be all right with that. I mean, how do you threaten someone that's got eternal life, that's got an eternal home, that's got eternal joy? I mean, how do you threaten someone like that? What can they threaten me with? No weapon formed against me can prosper. I'm telling you, if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm telling you, glory to God, I'm glad. I know in whom I have believed. Job said, no words consume his body. Yet in my flesh, I'll see God. Boy, what do you throw at somebody like that? I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm in. Amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege to expound upon these 12 verses. Lord, we might have went a little too far, but I certainly enjoyed it. Ask your blessings on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to get a piece of that cake.